We're blessed to have a group of people that study the Bible with us there in Tepetongo. Not many of them, not many. We've had up to upwards of 26, 27 people there in a group. But as things happen, as they fall out, people go to work other places, move to other towns, people die off, and it just happens that way. But we're praising the Lord for the few that we have, and they're faithful. I'm going to ask a question. If your pastor put out a lesson program with a Bible reading for every day in the week and followed through a book of the Bible and then asked five questions at the bottom of that sheet every Sunday, and he was required to pay attention and be with it, would you do it? Those people are faithful. They answer the questions and are looking forward to hearing the answers. I just love it. They are just waiting to hear the Word of God. The lady Ramona that was teaching the class there, every Sunday, every Tuesday when we have our meetings, she says, please pray that the Lord would give me hunger for the Word of God and understanding of the Word of God. That's what she asked for. That's the kind of people that they are. And so I don't care how many people I have, to have that many people that faithful and that interested in the Word of God, it just blesses my heart. People left them alone. Can you imagine that? talked about people that had died. There was a man that died 2 years ago on 31st of October. His name was Brother Abraham. He was a little old man that was working as a gardener in the town of Tepetongo. And that little old man got saved, I don't know how many years before I ever got to Tepetongo. But he was the greatest blessing. He died when he was 98 years old. He had asked the Lord to give him till he had 100 years to serve him. And this man was so faithful, Lord. When he was working in the garden, in the plaza there at that in Tepetongo, he said, when I met him the first time, giving him a tract and asking him if he knew the Lord as a Savior, he said, yes, I do. And we have a little group of people here that meet on Sundays to hear the Word of God. And the people that had led us to the Lord left us. We need a preacher. And so when you're out as a missionary, going from town to town, praying about what the Lord would have you to do, the Lord supplies. He did that. And so when things fell apart in Jerez for certain reasons in years past, we were wondering where the Lord would have us. We went down south to a place called Huehuca. And we've taken Brother Dr. Starr there and his wife, along with Brother Gene Engels, and they met the people in that area. And did you get to go to Huehuca too, Brother? Yes. Oh, what a blessing. Your pastor's been there too. But they all took off and left. We were there, you know. Anyway, we started there, and then we moved into another place, and we got to go to visit some people back in the mountains, into the hills, alongside of a river. Oh, and we led another fellow who's about 100 years old to the Lord, along with his wife who's 86 years old to the Lord. And what I'm going to say about both of those men, Brother Abraham and Tepetongo, was similar to the man that was there in El Fraile along the river, that they both, when they died, were smiling. Brother Abraham, I was talking to him the day before, and so, along with several of his other relatives that never were saved but knew him, and they were talking to him, and he was just really happy that day, the day before he died. He was talking to him about things, and he was giving them part of their inheritance. He didn't have much, but what he had, he was giving away to his relatives there. And he was just talking to people, and people had gone by. He was just telling them about things that happened in his life and so on, and he died in his sleep that night, 31st of October. Anyway, both of them, and that other man, he died in his sleep. He had peace in his heart. And that man had a good story to tell, too. Anyway, I've got too many Mexican stories to tell about those old men. But I listened to them for hours. They got to know me first. It took a long time before they got saved. It wasn't a five-minute, would you pray this prayer, guys? No. No, wasn't that way. They had to know me. They had to listen to hear the Word of God. They wanted to know what was going on. And one brother, Caterino, he needed to know about getting peace for his heart. He was a vengeful man. He had revenge and rencor, is the word in Spanish, in his heart. He couldn't get rid of it. He said, I got to get rid of this thing. I know that I can't get saved unless this is taken from me. I said, you won't ever get rid of it yourself. Give it to Jesus, he'll take it. And he took it from that man. Oh, he had a lot of things to be angry about, but praise the Lord, he got saved. Anyway, I'm going to move along. Anyway, we ended up in Tepetongo. Make the long story short, we went way down south, we're coming back up north again. Oh, it was 24 years. We're in a back preaching again in Jerez, Zacatecas. Just a matter of time. But in Tepetongo, those people are so precious. Brother Rodrigo, the man you saw there, he's a diabetic, and I want you to pray for him. Some of you already have. Some of you read the prayer letters and remember. Brother Rodrigo has got diabetes. His 20% kidney function. Right now, his heart's bad. He's got gallbladder problems. He can't operate because of all the other problems he's got. Anyway, he liked to eat his sweets and chase it with Coca-Cola, all his life. And he was a diabetic from the time he was 13 years old. Father would beat him in the fields because he'd pass out, blood sugar. He just beat him because he wouldn't work, couldn't work. He was out. What are you doing down here? On the floor. Anyway, this man had a lot of things going wrong with him too. But that brother got saved. There was a fellow then that was in a church there in Colotlan, another probably about 30, 40 minutes south of us where we live. It led him to the Lord. He was persistent. And when the Lord took his leg because of diabetes, he finally realized he needed to be saved, and he finally listened and heard. What a blessing it is to talk to that man. He was my witnessing partner in Tepetongo. I'd take him along in my truck with me, and he'd talk to the people. But he still couldn't give up his Coca-Cola and his sweet bread. So he lost his eyesight. So he's crippled, amputee. His other leg is riddled with diabetic lesions, all kinds of things like that, almost black. And as a miracle, he was standing that day. All the things that are going on in that picture we took. Would you see a smile on his face? There's a difference about him. He knows the Lord is his Savior. Anyhow, I go every Saturday to his house. Just spend 2 hours talk to him every Saturday. You just have to understand how it is to be that lonely. Are people lonely in your church? Are there people that you know that are not in the church, that you know personally, that need someone to talk to them that are that lonely? Whew. Tell you what, it's a good ministry right there. Just imagine the things you can do with the Word of God helping you. And what the Lord can do with the Word of God as you go. So anyway, that's our ministry. Going to people there that really have a great need. Not just physical, but the great spiritual need, okay? I found out that that's really what the Lord wants us to do. And so we just do it. The reason we don't meet in a church building yet is because we really can't meet in a church building yet. We have land. It was bought years ago. But because of the condition of Brother Rodrigo and Sister Pasquale, one of the ladies that was baptized, She's in a wheelchair. She can't get up, can't walk, can't do things like that. So we go, when I say we, the whole church, goes from one side of town on Sunday to the other side of town to hear the preaching. And then on Tuesday, the ones on that side go to the other side on Sunday. Anyway, we spend both services in different places, okay? So they understand and get the chance to hear the Word of God. So they just walk across from one place to the other. They walk. They don't ride. But now they ride. It's a blessing. When people walk to church because they want to go hear the Word of God and are on time every time, that's a major thing for people in Mexico. That's a major thing. They walk and they're on time and they're waiting for us. Oh, sure. Well, of course, they're in their homes. They're waiting. But the ones that walk and ones that have walked and ones that go with us, they want to get there on time. They're always ready. Always ready to hear the Word of God. I'm just blessed. I don't care if I have 15, 20 more. 35, 40, 50, 100. I just love the ones that we have. You have to love the ones that you have. Missionary, you have to be satisfied with which the ones that the Lord gives them. And I'll say that to say this. We only have 1,065 people in the population of Tepetongo. 7,000 in the cities or the little towns all around it. And there's not many to pick from. Everybody knows everybody else, and things are kind of tough. If you get into a bad way, everybody knows about it. And so to be a Christian is a difficult thing. Those ladies that got baptized, they took a major step. Anytime a Mexican gets baptized into the Baptist church, it's a major step. Well, first of all, some people are afraid of water. Where we are, there's very little water for them to be placed in. But I finally found a place. It's great. It's natural. Hot springs. It's a blessing. Warm water. Warm water. Just great. You don't have to heat it up either. We just pay a couple pesos. We can take them in and baptize them early in the morning. It's a blessing. But anyway, those ladies, a couple of ladies were just afraid to get into water. And they also knew that they weren't ready to live the life. Well, they were saved, but they weren't ready to commit and say that we're going to live the life, because to live the life as a Christian there, when you get baptized, people don't want to buy from you. They don't want to work with you. You're thrown out of your homes at times if you rent. They don't play around. And so Christianity is real. A real deal to them. And so anyway, those are the kind of things that we had to deal with to get them. But Sister Pasquale was unable to walk into the baptismal area. Unable to. But she moved, got into the one of the areas and got into the water and swam over to where we were going to. She couldn't walk, but she sure could swim. And my dentist, I needed to have someone help me with those ladies. I wouldn't dare. And water was up to my chest here to try and baptize them and make sure they wouldn't stay under water, you know. Or get scared and, you know, we'd have a problem. Anyway, I had to have someone to help me there. He was holding on to them, giving them some security and so on. But what a blessing it was to see those ladies take that step. It was a major step. And the other lady was 83 years old. And she heard the word, although she can barely hear with hearing aids. She heard the word and got saved gloriously. It's a blessing. What a blessing. So anyway, that's the story of the people there. And Sister Emelinda doesn't teach very well, but she wants to teach the kids how to be saved. And so we have 3 vacation Bible schools a year. We have one at Holy Week. We have one at during the summer, whenever we was on vacation. Month of July, probably about this week. And then, right at Christmas time, we have about a day when they're on vacation. Just before we left, there's a little tiny boy. He's been to every one of the vacation Bible schools just about. Asked me, Brother Jack, are we going to have one this year? This summer, are we going to have one? I had to put a frown on and tell the poor little kid, poor little fella's name, Fabian, right? Okay, I get him mixed up with someone else, Fabian. And he said, we're going to have one? No, I had to tell him no. Sorry, can't have one. But we'll get one in Christmas. We'll get one in Christmas. So the kids are really excited. We had 19, 20 of them at the most. We can't take them anywhere to another camp because they're not used to leaving home. Some people never leave home, never leave their city or their little town to go anywhere else. They never do. And those kids, they're so poor that they can't relate to living or going someplace else and staying overnight. Oh, with grandma, grandpa, with a relative, sure, they could do that, but the otherwise they can't. And so that's sort of the flavor of the work that we're doing with those people. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Lead them to Lord Jesus Christ and show them that people care. Yes, Americans do care. Yeah, Christianity does care. I read that last week, I think it was. Somebody saying that Christians don't care. That just made me steam. Oh, I could. Why is that? Anyway. So the church is small, but it's effective. Those ladies want to see those children, a lot of them are relatives, get saved. And we have extras come in too. What's a blessing? Real blessing to see those children come. As I mentioned too, in that slide presentation, we have land set up for them. They bought land years ago with the church that left them. And the church, it's their land, they just have to pay the other half of the property's worth. We're asking people to pray about that. Pray for them as they can gather it up. They make about 20 paces or 200 paces a day, some of them, if they work. And it's not very much. It's $10 at the rate right now. $10 a day. They work 10 hours a day. And a lot of them aren't even given food to eat. They have to go get their own. Strange place to work. But nevertheless, the Lord has given them faith, trust the Lord for their food, and they give the tithe and more. It's amazing. Little as much when God's in it. You've heard that song, right? Well, you start out giving little. If you finally get rich and you have a lot, you'll start giving, won't you? If you keep it up. From the time you begin to get to that point where the Lord can teach you. And those, I know those people, if they had the opportunity and to make more money, they would give according to what they receive. What a blessing it is to know people like that. What a blessing it is to know people like that. So anyway, that land that's right next to that park, it's just a blessing. They don't even have to buy a park to have their meetings in. Outdoor meetings, that's great. Might even have to do that for a while. Clear off the cactus, clear off the things. What a blessing. I'm moving toward the scripture, guys. Hang on. The second part, announcement. Okay, yes, we are going to start again in Jerez. I've been, since I was out the last time, I was in your missions conference, I was really discouraged when I was here for the things that had happened. We had to shut down the church there in Jerez. People just weren't coming. Lots of things have happened since then. I know why people weren't coming in church in Jerez for years. There were lots of things buried. Did anything buried in your life? buried so buried deep that you don't want the church members to know about, don't want people to know about. Well, if you live in a smaller town, well, you guys don't live in a small town here, do you? People, everybody knows what's going on, just about. But you know, there's certain things you think you can keep hidden. Well, anyway, pastor doesn't necessarily go looking. He doesn't go looking for things that you're doing, but things just happen to pop out. But I didn't get the information before time. We had a lot of things going on in the church in Jerez, and I just had to shut it down. I learned of one or two things, and they quit coming. And now, this last year, I've learned, well, last six, 3 or 4 months, I've learned about things that just kept the church from growing, kept the church from moving along. Adultery is good, and a good thing to keep out of. Adultery, selling liquor and alcohol on the side, drinking, carousing whenever you feel like it. Having children out of wedlock, anyway, it's just, I can't list the whole list of sins that were involved in that. Anyway, I was wondering if I'd ever start again in that town, because I was just, once you get a name, you wonder. People, they put Brother Jack along with them. So I was wondering if I was ever going to start again. And the Lord said, oh yeah, well, you need to start again. You can't just leave all those people, 65,000 people, now about 120,000 people, without witnessing to them, trying to start a church and work there at least. And you're not done yet, he said. You're not ready to retire. Oh, I'm going to be 69 shortly. I'm not ready to retire yet. Lord willing, I'm not ready. Got a lot of work to do. So I need another church in Jerez. I got to start. Praise the Lord. Lord said he wanted me to go do a few things. And I'm going to start reading now in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And we're going to read through verse 40. And then we're going to tell you the story about Brother Juanito. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Well, the angel of the Lord came to Brother Jack. Oh, yeah, sure. Through the Word of God, right? Jesus is here. He's talking to me all the time, right here. I love it. And so he said, Brother Jack, you've got to go and continue. He did, sure. Well, Brother Juanito is a special case, okay? He lived in our area, our colonia, our community. And we knew him because we sat out in the evenings, and we talk to people in the evenings. When it's hot out, we go outside. We don't have heating and air conditioning. Sorry. And it was a good thing we were talking about there at Brother Schweitzer's house this afternoon. He mentioned the same thing, or someone mentioned the same thing. And we sit outside. And so we get to know all the people in the area. What are you Americans doing here? We're missionaries. And you speak English? No. Yeah, we speak English, sure. And then they ask us if we speak Spanish, of course, because when I start speaking Spanish, they say, huh? First thing they do is look at me like, what? And then when they finally realize I'm trying to say things in their tone, I was 45 years old, and I never did get the accent. I'll never have the accent. But I definitely know the words. Can't confuse me. And we had a good time talking to all the people. Well, anyway, we knew Juan and his former wife and children there in the colonia, and they were drunkards. But we got a chance to talk to them and be friends with them. Friends with all of them. We just love it. Friends with all of them. And it doesn't matter if you're a drunk or whatever. You know, it's talk to the people. You have to do it. You have to be part of them. They respect us because we eat their chili. We eat their tortillas. We eat everything that they make. And if we've never heard of it before, we'll eat it anyhow. It's just the way it is. And we are known for what we eat and how we participate up to certain limits, biblical limits, that is, with the stuff that we have. And we invite them to hear things. We give them food. We share. They don't like American food. Forget it. They don't. They don't like turkey and dressing. They don't like turkey gravy. Anything is bland, no taste. If it doesn't have chili, forget it. But they know we will eat the hottest things they can give us. They know that. And we're not bashful. Okay? So anyhow. And we're always willing to try a new recipe. And once they find out what our likes are, they make it for us and they bring it to us. Praise God. And you can tell, right? Well, anyhow. The Lord told us that they had a problem. They had moved downtown and they started working in separate places, and that was just to make more money. But after a while, it was about December, could have been November last year. The wife had come back into the colony and came to eat on the corner with all of us, and she said, "Oh, is there an open house to rent near here?" "Oh no, there's no house to rent here." "Oh my, we're trying to come back. I've just got divorced from Johnny, and we need a place to. The girls and I need a place to stay." I said, "What?" Because I had no idea that they were that contentious or had that many problems. And I said, "Oh, wow." And I just couldn't imagine Johnny not being with her. So anyhow, Lord said to Jack, "Guess what? There's a fellow that has a need, probably. I don't know what's going on in his life. I really didn't want to know what was going on because I knew basically that there'd been a problem, right? I need to check him out, see what's going on. He's all by himself." So I started walking by his shop. "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia." In other words, a man was prepared. The Spirit had a man prepared, and the Lord said, "Prick my heart, my head, my memory, My understanding, he said, you need to go and see Johnny. And seeing him, well, you need to go down there and see what he's doing. What's going on? How he's getting along. So I went. Passed by his shop. And, hey, Jack, how you doing? He yelled at me from in the back because he hadn't seen me in a while. I really hadn't been walking by that way to go to the market. It's right on, there's a certain way I can go. It goes right by the market. And so I went by there and I talked to him for a little bit to just shoot the breeze and find out what's going on. Find his spiritual condition. Well, couldn't notice anything. He was busy working, so he was happy. Sewing machine was just buzzing. And so I said, well, catch you later. I go downtown and get the stuff I need. So I went to the market, came back, and see you later. We'll come back. He said, come back next week, will you? No problem. I like talking to you. No problem. I'll come back. So I came back the next week. And we were just talking about everyday things. Oh, man, wow, you got more work? Oh, yeah. Oh, we're in fair time right now, and there are a lot of people wanting to get their outfits for the fair and to ride their horses and to do different things, cowboys. He said, I'm ready to really get this taken care of. I've got lots of orders and things, and I'm really working hard. And so I was talking to him for a little bit. He said, but come back next week, will you? Next week, he wasn't busy. Next week, I found him behind his sewing machine where he usually sits, where he's working on his stuff, but he had a Bible right there underneath, right over the top where you have the bobbin and where you have the pedals and all that stuff. It was right there in front of him. He was reading the Bible. He was reading out of the book of Numbers. I walked by and said, hey, John, what you got there? You got a Bible. Hey, praise God. And I said, wow, what you reading? I said, oh, I'm reading here in the book of Numbers. I said, well, do you even understand what you're reading there? Numbers is kind of tough for a person who doesn't know anything about the Bible. That's what I was telling him, you know. And he says, yeah, you're right. So I don't understand a thing about what's going on in this. Oh, okay. So I started talking to him about Jesus. Course. I said, you know, you don't really want to start here. You want to go back here. So I took him to the book of John. Nobody goes to the book of John first, do they? Right? Anyway, I started telling him about the Lord Jesus talking to a man about his soul. Thought he knew all kinds of stuff. Nicodemus, right? Well, anyway, he said to me, I started reading about the Spirit, and he says, hey, what about death? Hey, what about death? What is death? Ask a pastor about what death is. Oh, right, you've opened the door.
That's right. Amen.
This is where you need to be. Preached unto him Jesus. What is death? Oh, man. You know what? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about death. He was worried about death. He was all alone. Wife left him. His three precious girls left him. He's all alone. Him and his bottle. An alcoholic had that bottle of tequila sitting right there next to the Bible, reading it. But anyway, we have to do something about that. But he had that Bible in the bottle right there. You could tell he was really, really stressed. By the time we got done telling him what death was, he said, man, I need to know more about this. What's it mean to be spiritual? There's a difference, physical and spiritual. Yeah, sure there is. What is it? I got to know. And so, come back next week. Sure. And we did. We went about three or four more times, and three or four more weeks later, you finally got the Lord, got into it, and got the Lord as a Savior. Now, he didn't quit drinking right away. Sorry to say. He didn't quit smoking right away. No. Still got the idol over here. He's got the little candle lit. But he says, keep coming, Brother Jack. Don't leave me. anyway, what I really liked is that the Spirit told Philip in verse 29, go near, join thyself to his chariot. Right up next to that sewing machine talking about the Word of God. Go right up there and talk to him about it. Tell him about it. He's prepared. He's ready. Scripture in hand. One of the blessings is you can of being in Mexico is you walk by those shops and you see what they're doing and you go talk to them and watch them. And I've seen more than one person sitting reading the Bible in their shop. More than once. And I've always asked the same question. Do you understand what you're reading? And we get to talk. It's a blessing. Not everyone gets saved, but they read their Bible some. The only way you can do that, find out is to go by, visit, get to know someone real well in Mexico. I'm not a one quick profession man. I'm not. I like to see them really get saved and really understand what they're hearing. Praise the Lord. How can I, except some man should guide me? He had a need for someone to guide him in the Scriptures. Wow. Isn't it neat? No matter how old you get in the Lord Jesus Christ, you still need someone that can guide you in the Scriptures. Praise God for pastors. Amen. There's something that you don't know that he's just found out that he didn't know. And he needs to show it to you. I praise God for the opportunity to do that. And that's what church planning is all about, finding people that are ready and ready to go. And you just have to be ready to go to the place where they are. You have to be at the place where, go to the place where they are. Because you've been probably to a place where they've been too. And you know a little bit about what's happening in their lives. And the more you read the Bible, the more you know. All these examples are here for that reason. The more you read that Bible, the more you can relate that to them. Show them where in the Bible Lord Jesus Christ can help them. And so, Brother John said, I don't have peace in my heart. I have an empty spot. That's what he said. I need to know what life is about, what death is about, all these things. It's all right here. We have that message. Amen. We need to take it. And there's so many people in Jerez right now, and there are churches that are growing up right there in that town. They're growing fast. But why are they growing fast? For the same reason that the church that fell apart in Jerez that we had fell apart. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't want to give the Lord the opportunity to lead in their lives. I will go this far and no more. I'm going to live this way. You can't change me, Lord. That's their problem. They don't want to change. They want it their way. One of the fellows that used to go knocking on doors with me, I say used to, he just quit one day. He told me, you got to preach a little less hard. You guys that read that King James Bible, that King James Bible is too harsh. The Spanish Bible is nice. It's kind of soft. So I didn't see it that way. If you preach the right thing and you show them the right thing, it's not soft. It tells you the exact same thing here. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. A two-edged sword. And you just can't blunt the edge of the sword and expect it to work. Right. But that's what I heard. I want it my way. All the time. And so he had it his way. He was a Christian. He got his Christian wife. And then he went out looking for a woman so he could have a child because she couldn't have one. Nice. It's just amazing. You can't find people that are qualified to preach. That's the other thing I'm talking about here. Juanito never, ever be able to take a church I got to find some. Lord, he has them that are clean. Well, at least, you know, they've never been married before or have been married legally and have maintained their marriage, right? A lot of different things. It's hard to find. You can't do it. And day and age in, here in the United States, you can't find many like that either. But they still need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, so on. I'm just trusting the Lord will take that man's heart and touch it and allow him to be used, at least testifying to other people about what the Lord can do in a life like his. I didn't ask him what all the problems were. Still haven't. Maybe one day he'll tell me. But I know that that church, is we're going to start one right there because the Lord sent us there. That man's the man. It's going to be there for a while, and the Lord has others. So pray for Jerez. Pray for us as we start that ministry again. Knocking, talking to people, just trying to win one or two at a time. Find someone that will go with me that's faithful. The Word of God. See what the Lord does. That's the project for the years coming. Lord tarrying. Tonight, reading this book of Acts, seeing Philip go do those things, yeah, the Lord returned him back to the place where he was. He started off, he started preaching and working all over again. The evangelist, the missionary, the preacher. Is there anyone here in this auditorium tonight that has been struggling with what you need to do for the Lord? Is there anyone here that thinks that at the age that I am, I cannot be used? I can't learn language. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, there's a lot of work right here. A lot of work everywhere. And the Lord needs you now. Oh, it looks like it's the end, right? It's not the end. It's actually the beginning. Because people are starting to pay attention. Starting to pay attention. Christianity's going to be different shortly. I don't like the idea of the persecution, but it's going to be different.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home. A quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.